Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. But if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 4. And this is the third time that I preach out of this chapter. But 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning at verse 38. "And Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. And he said unto his servant, Set on the great pot, and seethe pottage for the sons of the prophets. And one went out into the field to gather herbs, and found a wild vine, and gathered thereof wild gourds his lap full, and came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for he knew them not. So they poured out for the men to eat. And it came to pass, as they were eating of the pottage, that they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot. And they could not eat thereof. But he said, Then bring meal. And he cast it into the pot, and said, Pour out for the people, that they may eat. And there was no harm in the pot." Heavenly Father, as we open your word, I'm asking for the power of God. But to me, the most important thing is that I would be able to preach with conviction, that people would hear and the word of God would grab their heart. The word of God would send conviction in their heart. And I'm asking that the Spirit of God would do exactly that. Send conviction. And we're careful to give you the praise, glory, and honor in the wonderful and precious name of Jesus. Amen. But in preparing to preach this sermon, I knew, and again, I've been studying this chapter for a few weeks, praying for a few weeks. This is the third time that I preached from this chapter. The first time, we covered the first few verses, where the widow of the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, "They're going to take my stuff, they're going to take my boys, and take them as slaves to work off my debt. What am I going to do?" And he said, "What do you have?" And she said, "I have a little bit oil." And again, you've heard me teach this, and I apologize if you've heard it already. But she said, "I have a little bit oil." And the prophet said, "Take that oil and borrow vessels, not a few, different pots, jars, containers, what have you. Borrow from your neighbors as many as you can." And we read how God multiplied that oil and miraculously caused it to flow. And we said, as she poured into one vessel and another, that the oil, olive oil, in fact, is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And we empty vessels, we broken vessels, having this treasure in earthen vessels, it says. This event is a symbol of the preaching of the gospel and missionary work, that we, if we're willing to be a vessel used of God, He will fill us and He will use us. The second event, the Shunammite woman, God gave her a son, and that son died. And she went in faith, saying, "It shall be well." went to the man of God and said, "The Lord gave me this son. You're going to have to do something." And he raised that child from the dead. But in studying this chapter, and again, I've been studying it now for several weeks, I knew that I was missing something somehow. I knew that I wasn't getting it. There was something more, something deeper in this story, and etc. Now, I want to say that there is no new doctrine. There is no new Rhema word. There's nothing new. It's the same old-fashioned gospel. God is doing a new thing, yes, but that new thing happened 2,000 years ago when Christ became the Lamb of God and hung on the cross. Again, there is no new revelation. But there is understanding that the Holy Spirit can give. And I knew I was missing something. I knew it. And I struggled with it. I looked at it one way and another way, and I couldn't get it. And I prayed and said, "Lord, you need to give me understanding." And I believe that He did. But as you'll see, it's the same message. It's the same gospel from beginning to end, Genesis to Revelation. It's nothing new. But when the woman went to the man of God and said, "Didn't I say, don't deceive me?" Referring to the promise the prophet said about her son. But it says, starting in verse 29, "Then he," Elisha, "said unto Gehazi, gird up thy loins, and take my staff into thine hand, and go thy way, and lay my staff upon the face of the child." Now she had taken her son and had laid him in the little place that she had made for the prophet Elisha. And then she went to find the man of God. But he said to his servant Gehazi, "Run ahead, take my staff and lay it upon the face of the child." And he did so. He ran ahead. He went into the little room, saw the child laying on the bed, dead. Took his master's staff, the prophet's staff, laid it on his face. But nothing happened. He didn't stir, he didn't flutter his eyes, he didn't do anything. He was still dead. But the prophet came, hours later, the next day. I don't know how far he had to travel to get there. Again, Gehazi went first. The prophet came after. And he went in and he saw the boy laying in his place. And it says that the prophet laid on top of him, on top of the dead boy, and put his face to his face, his mouth to his mouth, his hands to his hands, laid right on top of him. And it says that he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he went out and walked to and fro and prayed, I suppose, and came back and did the same again. And it says in verse 35 that the child sneezed 7 times and the child opened his eyes. This is a great miracle. The man of God had spoken to the Shunammite woman and said, "God will give you a son." And because I believe her husband was old, they couldn't have children. And she said, "Don't lie to me. Don't tease me." But he said, "It'll happen." And as the man of God said, it happened. She bore a child. The kid grew up. I don't know if he was 7, 8, 10 years old or something. He was in the field. The sun was hot. And apparently he had a sunstroke and died. But the woman, in great faith, put him in the little room and didn't say anything to anyone but said, "It shall be well." But this is what I believe the Lord showed to me. If you look at the prophets Elijah and Elisha, these two go together. But it says that Elisha had the double portion. It says that Elijah did 7 miracles, Elisha 14. And these two prophets together symbolized the Word of God. Elijah, the first prophet, symbolizes the law or the Old Testament. Elisha symbolizes Christ and the New Testament. But this staff that Gehazi laid upon the face of the child, this staff symbolizes the law. And we know that Galatians, I believe, says that the law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. We need the Ten Commandments. We need God's Old Testament law. We need His instruction. We need the passages where it talks about the great deliverances that He gave Israel. We need the teaching on the temple and the feasts. We need all of these things, but all of these things point to Christ. But truly, the law could not save. Paul said that the law shows us sin. The law cannot save, but the law points to our need of a Savior. The law is good. The law is holy. The law is precious. There's no error in the law. But the law cannot save. If the law could have saved, then we would have all been saved at the Passover. If the law could save, then why did Christ come? But again, the law was a schoolmaster pointing us to Christ. Christ is the Savior. Jesus Christ saves from sin. The Ten Commandments do not. But He laid His staff upon the face of the child, and the child did not recover. God gave us the Old Testament, all 39 books, but the law could not save. But the prophet later came, Elisha, and it says that he found the boy laid out on his own bed, and he laid on top of him, his mouth to his mouth, his hands to his hands, etc. This is obviously a symbol of Christ being laid upon the cross, the instrument of His death. The boy was laying down dead, the prophet laid on top of him, stretching out his arms. The cross, an instrument of death, Christ is laid upon it, stretched out His arms, nailed to it. The staff laid upon His face didn't raise Him from the dead, but the prophet laying upon Him did. For it says He sneezed 7 times and opened His eyes. Now just a little bit teaching on the sneezing 7 times. Sneezing implies breath. And breath or wind in the Old Testament is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And this number 7, the Word of God occasionally uses numbers. I know it's popular today to run wild with numerology or the study of biblical numbers. Number 4 means this, number 12 means that, number 17 or whatever means this. All the numbers you can think of, they have an interpretation, whoever they might be. 12 generally symbolizes the 12 tribes of Israel. 7 generally symbolizes divinity. You can look in the book of Isaiah. It says that there are 7 spirits of God. We know that God is one. We know that there's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's not the Father, Son, and 7 Holy Spirits. But in that passage in Isaiah, it describes the work of the Holy Spirit. It describes His character and the breadth of His work in dealing with mankind. The child sneezed 7 times. Again, it's a symbol of the Holy Spirit, the divine Spirit, life coming back into him. And the child opened his eyes. But the passage I read at the beginning of the service, starting at verse 38, And Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth or a famine or what have you in the land. But it talks about this pot that the man of God said, put it on the fire and seethe or stew some sort of pottage or some sort of meal or oatmeal or something. I don't know what it was. Some sort of vegetable stew. But it says that one went out into the field to gather herbs. And he found something he didn't know what it was. Some kind of wild gourd or wild mushroom or I don't know, something. And he came and kind of shredded it up and put it into the pot as it was cooking. And when they gave the men to eat, they started to eat a little bit, and then they said, well, what is this stuff? It doesn't taste right. It's bitter or something. I don't know what exactly. But it says that they cried, O man of God, there is death in the pot. And it says they could not eat thereof. But then it says that the prophet said to bring meal or a preparation of flour. And he cast it or threw it into the pot and stirred. Then he said, go ahead and give it to them. And there was no harm in the pot, it said. There was some sort of poison or something in the pot of stew. He took some flour, threw it in, stirred it up, and the pot was healed. The poison gone away. This obviously is a miracle, but again, there is a symbolic meaning. The meal, flour, when you make bread, obviously you use some sort of flour or meal, cornmeal or something. Jesus said, I am the bread of life, and he heals us. Whatever death or poison it was, the bread of life or the word of God neutralized it. In the last chapter of the book of Mark, it says if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, and they'll take up serpents. God gives us victory over the death and destruction and poisons of this world, the spiritual poisons of this world. But what was this death in the pot? And I believe that the Lord showed me this. I mentioned before that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We're empty vessels, and God fills us. But before we are saved, we try to fill our lives with whatever we can find. You've heard my testimony. In my case, it was women, drugs, alcohol, what have you. Whatever I could find to try and occupy my time or to make myself feel better. And I've told you about the despair and depression that I lived through. Whatever I could find, that I did. But these things, we know, are harmful. The things that we do in the world, the things that we do as sinners, they're not good for us. We may think, hey, this is fun, but it doesn't help. And it may be fun, but there may be consequences later. O man of God, there is death in the pot. When you come to Christ, you began to eat at the Lord's table. And these young prophets, they were eating at Elisha's table. We come to God. We eat at his table. We come to Sunday school, perhaps, or listen to an evangelist on the radio or something. And God begins to feed us. We begin to change, and we begin to have understanding. But then we remember, or it's brought to our attention, some of the things that we did before we became Christians. And we realize that these things are death to us. If we smoked dope, or we ran around, or we did whatever, when we become Christians, we realize that it's awful. Again, before we're saved, we may not think it's awful. We may think it's great. But when we become a Christian, we realize the horror of some of the things we did. And again, we may do something once. We may sow a wild oat, but then later on, it'll sprout perhaps. O men of God, there is death in the pot. But the answer in Psalms 119, it says, how will a man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto thy word. As we continue to let the word of God do something in our lives, as we continue to study it, allow it to do its work in our heart and life, God heals us. God cleanses us. And God helps us. You see, this is a picture of our sanctification. If you're in Christ, you are positionally sanctified. But once you're saved, you begin to grow. You begin to mature. You begin to be taught of the Word of God, and you mature. That's our progressional sanctification. If you're saved, you're in Christ. If you died today, as the question is asked, you know you would go to heaven. But from the time you get saved until the time that you do die or go to heaven, God takes His time to work on you. Again, you have a position in Christ. You're positionally sanctified. Sanctified means to be set apart for God's use and to be made holy. You're holy in Christ. But then God begins to work on you and renew your mind and etc. But the last few verses of this chapter, verse 42, 43, and 44, it reminds us of the miracles that Christ did in feeding the 5,000. It says in verse 42, and there came a man from Baal Shalisha and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits offering, 20 loaves of barley and full ears of corn in the husk thereof. And he said, give unto the people that they may eat. And his servitor said, what? Should I set this before 100 men? And he said again, give the people that they may eat. For thus saith the Lord, they shall eat and leave thereof. The little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish, Jesus multiplied that little bit to feed 5,000 besides women and children. And it says in one place that the disciples picked up of the fragments 12 baskets full. But this man, this servitor, he looked at the little bit and said, this ain't enough. There's 100 men, there's only 20 little pieces of bread, it's not enough. But the man of God said, it is enough. He repeated his command, give the people that they may eat. For thus saith the Lord, they shall eat and leave thereof. It's our job as ministers to preach the gospel. But the word of God is enough. Christ, the bread of life, is enough. You may look at your situation or the political situation or any situation you choose to look at. And you may think there's no solution. But the Word of God is sufficient. If we will trust in the Word of God and do it, God will help us in any and every situation that we have. But these, it says, were barley loaves. The Feast of Pentecost came at the end of the barley harvest. Pentecost, obviously, in Acts chapter 2, was a symbol of the Holy Spirit coming to the church. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, says that when the Spirit comes, we'll be witnesses unto Christ throughout the whole world. So this miracle talks about the preaching of the gospel and missionary work. And I'm here to tell you that the Word of God is enough. The gospel is enough. If we'll let it do its work and trust it and not use our eyes, not walk by sight, but walk by faith, the gospel is enough. And I've said it many times on the radio, it doesn't matter what your trouble is, God can help you if you will trust in Him. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.